Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today. Our first Scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 60, the first three verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading is the Epiphany story, reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the first 12 verses of chapter 2. Let us continue listening for God's voice speaking to us. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as you may know by now, I grew up in Cincinnati with my two younger brothers, Tom and Tim, and my mom and dad. Now, if you've never been to Cincinnati, I would say that, among other things, it is a city defined by its dramatic hills, winding streets, and neighborhoods that seem to rise and fall with the landscape. When we were kids, there was a great game our dad would play with us that was extra fun because of this landscape. If we were out and about in the car and had some time to kill, Dad would tell us to pick out an object on the horizon, some interesting-looking building or structure, and then we would all work together to figure out how to get there, deciding along the way exactly which roads to take and when and where to turn. Given the city's layout, this could be quite challenging and take some time, but we were always able to reach our chosen destination. Even if GPS had existed back then, using it would have defeated the purpose. I loved this game. It made me feel like a great explorer, and it was a wonderful way to get to know different parts of the city, places where we might not have otherwise gone. The one drawback was that we could only play this game during the day, when our chosen places on the horizon were visible. But one night, when the whole family was out in the car, coming home from somewhere, we saw an incredibly bright beam of light in the sky. It was far enough away that we couldn't really tell where it was coming from. My brothers and I had never seen anything like this before, and we were excited about what it might mean. Our parents explained that it was just a searchlight, and that businesses sometimes rented them to attract people from miles around to their sales or events. We still thought it was really exciting, and we wanted to follow it and figure out how to get there. I think we each had different visions about what was waiting for us at the end of that light. Perhaps a big sale on China dolls, or maybe a carnival with rides, or even better, a free movie. In the end, it was used cars. But oh, how thrilling it was to follow that light to its source. Today in the church, we are celebrating Epiphany, the final installment of the Christmas story, when God's manifestation in baby Jesus was revealed to the wise men. That is why we have Christmas decorations up for one last Sunday. And here, if you can see it, and I invite you to come up after the service, we have the wise men and baby Jesus figurines that have been in the North Courtyard all season. The wise men were from countries far away from where Jesus was born. They were of a different culture, nationality, and religious background than Jesus' family. They were not believers in the one God of Israel, but were pagans, which meant they worshiped more than one God. These particular men were called magi, a priestly class of Persian or Babylonian experts in astrology and interpretation of dreams. Their beliefs associated the birth of a new ruler with astral phenomena. When they observed the star that rose over the manger at Jesus' birth, it was like nothing they had ever seen before. But they were sure that it meant at least two things. One, that a new king had been born. And two, that they must travel from their homes, from their countries, to go and find this new king and pay him homage. Can you imagine a star shining so brightly that it shines all the way to another country? Scholars debate whether this was a supernatural sign, a rare celestial event, or a combination of both. But whatever it was, for the Magi, it must have been like the ultimate cosmic searchlight. And like my brothers and I following the beam of light when we were kids, the wise men set out on a trek, a long and difficult journey to follow the light of that star. They knew more about what they could expect to find than we did, but like us, they didn't know exactly where it was leading, and they didn't know how their lives would be changed once they found it. The wise men lived in eastern countries, and so they followed the star west to the country of Judea, to the town of Jerusalem, which was not too far from Bethlehem. Once they got there, they started asking questions about where the newborn king of the Jews was to be found so that they could go and worship him. Now, the current king of Judea was Herod the Great, who was not a popular king, but had established his power by military force. He knew that the people wanted a king of Jewish blood, one who did not have to answer to the Romans. When he heard that foreign dignitaries were in town asking about some new king of the Jews, Herod feared that this could be the beginning of the end for his rule. So he brought in prominent religious leaders to advise him, who told him that their scripture indeed prophesied about a king who would be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod began plotting a way to kill this newborn before he even had a chance to grow up and take away his throne. He devised a plan to use the wise men, telling them that he too wanted to worship the new king if they would just come back and give him the exact location. He passed on to them what he had learned of the scriptural prophecy and was able to point the wise men in the right direction toward Bethlehem. From that point on, they were able to continue following the star to the very place where Jesus lay. They worshiped him and gave him gifts suitable for royalty, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all precious because of their rarity and great value. And then, just as God had worked through their beliefs in astrology to lead them to Jesus, God worked through their belief in dreams to warn them not to return to Herod. And so they traveled home by a different route. This story of the Magi and Jesus holds great significance in the Gospel of Matthew. First of all, his is the only gospel in which the wise men appear. It was important to include them for the very reason that they were pagans, Gentiles, people who were not part of the Hebrew faith in the one God of Israel. They were outsiders. And yet, here at the very beginning of Jesus' life, they are included in the gospel story. Matthew was making it clear that this birth, this manifestation of God in the humble and vulnerable life of a little baby, was for all people, even for them. And it produced a light so bright that they could not help but follow it. Ironically, the religious leaders of the time, who knew well about the prophecy of the star and the birth of a Messiah, did not follow it. Instead, it was the pagan outsiders, the Magi, who were obedient to God by following the star. And they followed not only the star, but also scripture to Bethlehem, for their astrology alone could not get them there. They needed the guidance of scripture to get them the rest of the way. And so the meaning the Magi had been looking for in the stars was ultimately found in God's revelation in Jesus. Matthew does not tell us what became of the wise men, but we know their lives were changed forever, for scripture says they were overwhelmed with joy as they worship the living God in baby Jesus. The Magi had followed the star, the light of God, not knowing it was God. They didn't even believe in God, and yet they were so attracted to God's light that they were compelled to follow it to its source. What started out as one incredible journey became two. The first led them to God and Christ, and the second began the moment they found him. The same is true for us. For even though we have found Christ and proclaim him to be our Lord and Savior, our journey is far from over. We must be careful to remember this. It can be all too easy for us to become comfortable and complacent in our faith, like the religious leaders in Matthew's story. Sometimes it takes outsiders, like the Magi, to remind us that God's light is not meant to simply be admired, but to be followed. We have just come through the season of Christmas, and once again been given a chance to be renewed and refreshed along our journey, for Christ to be reborn in us. We have followed the star through Advent to the manger. We have worshiped with song and prayer, presented our gifts of homage and praise, and delighted in the glory of Christmas. On Wednesday, we turn the corner into a new year, leaving another year behind, a year which was fraught with tragedy and sadness for people everywhere, from wars to threats of war to mass shootings, including just this week, devastating hurricanes and wildfires, the global refugee crisis, and the list goes on. It seems that this is a time when we need more than ever to see God's star shining brightly before us, leading us in the way we need to go. As we begin this new year, we must be ready to not only recognize God's light in our lives, but also to follow it. If we are able to do that, then perhaps others who are seeking meaning and purpose for their lives will see God's light shining so brightly in us that they will be compelled to follow it to its source. In the name of our Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.